I'm going to read a verse of scripture in Romans, the 6th chapter, the 23rd verse, and a very familiar verse of scripture. But today I want to just bring it to your light to remind you. The word tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is what that song was referring to. You see, the wages of sin that we have in our life is going to be death. We're going to, when you're sinning, when you're allowing sin to reign in your life, you're earning wages of death. But the Lord today, through the love of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his love today, has given us a gift that will override, that will do away with, that will eradicate, will turn back, and will set you on a path to eternal life. Eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse of scripture in 1 John, the second chapter, the 16th verse says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hallelujah. Now, this is the definition of sin to me. You see, it says the lust of the flesh, the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the things that are in the world. Those are the things that will take you away from the Father. Those are the things that will separate you from the Father. They will separate you from God. And today, you know, I thought about Adam and Eve, and when sin was first introduced in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, it says that Satan come to Eve, and he told her, she said, we can eat of every tree of the garden except for the tree of life. And if we eat of that tree, we've been told that if we eat of that tree that's in the midst of the garden, that we'll die. Satan, the deceiver, said to her, no, you're not going to die. You're not going to surely die. God just knows that if you eat that tree, you're going to become wise. You're going to become like him, and you're going to know good and evil. And there's a verse of scripture in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. It says in the 6th verse, it says, and when the woman saw the tree that was good for food, she said, there's a tree that's good for food. You see, there's that lust of the flesh. She said, this will be good for me. This will be something that I can partake in. I can enjoy. It's good for food. She saw that it was pleasant to the eye. That's that lust of the eye. She saw that thing that looked good. It had that appeal to her. And she saw that it was a desire to make one wise, make you like God. So it appealed to her pride, gave her pride in her life. Says she took the fruit thereof, did eat, gave unto her husband, and he ate also. And by this we all know that from our Bible studies that this is the point at which sin entered into the world. Because, you see, Eve, she fell to all three of Satan's lies and all three of his deceiving approaches. She fell to that lust of the flesh, that lust of the eye, that pride of her life. She said, I can eat it. It'll be good for me. I'll enjoy it. And it looks so good. And it's something that is desired because it's going to make me wise. And you see, the deceiver today is still in the same business. That's the way he introduced sin to begin with. That's the way he introduced sin way back in the beginning of time. And today he still transfers and tries to promote sin in that same way. Hallelujah. You see, that's an example of what man is. Leon, in his testimony, said, you know, there are things. He quoted a scripture. Paul said, when I would do good, evil's present. And the things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I wouldn't do, I do. And that is the nature of man. That's the nature of man. That's the what we are without the presence of God in our natural ability to go against sin. We have that lust. We have that lust of the flesh. We have that lust of the eye. We have that pride of life. It's in us. And without the Lord, that's exactly where we are. But we have another example in the Word, and it's found in a man called Jesus. We find in Luke, I believe it's the fourth chapter. Let me get there and share this with you. In Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus was in the wilderness and he'd been 40 days there fasting and praying. Satan comes to him. Satan says to him in the third verse of the fourth chapter, says, "If thou be God, command this stone to be bread." It's right before that it says Jesus was fasting and he was hungry. He had a lust for food. He had a desire for food. Jesus himself desired food. Satan said, "If you be God, turn this bread to stone." Jesus answered him, said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Satan didn't give up with just appealing to the lust of the flesh. The devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me and to whoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." You see, the devil approached Jesus in the same way he did Eve. He said, "Look, let me show you what you can have. Let me show you all the kingdoms of the world and look at all their glory. And all that can be yours if you'll worship me." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve." Hallelujah. You see, the Lord didn't fall for Satan's trap in that appealing to his eye and appealing to that lust of the eye, that desire. Surely those kingdoms were very appealing, but Jesus said, "No, I won't worship anybody except the Lord our God." Hallelujah. Ninth verse says, "And he brought to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee. And in their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, Satan comes to him and says, "Look, if you're God, you got this special protection on you, and just cast yourself down," and you know, appealing to his pride to say, you prove that you're God. Establish to everybody. Put all the doubt out of everybody's mind that you're God." And Jesus said, "No, I won't tempt the Lord my God." And you see, we have in the life of Jesus one that was approached by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But yet, we see what happens in Jesus. He's victorious. He's victorious because of two things. One, because he's an example of what it's like when God is in a man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, "Brother Darrell, I got these natural things about me." But Jesus is an example of what it's like when God dwells in a man. Hallelujah. And today, you see, we have that opportunity for God to dwell in us. Hallelujah. The very Spirit of the Almighty God of heaven. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will come and take up residence in you. And you don't have to follow the example of Adam and Eve and be weak to the flesh and weak to the lust of the eye and weak to the pride of life. You don't have to get caught up in those things. Today, hallelujah, you have the opportunity to follow the second Adam example, the example of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who's the example of God in man. Hallelujah. 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 I want to share that with you because I want you to understand that we are not powerless today. We're not powerless today. We're not fighting this thing of our own will, but yet we're empowered by the Spirit of God to be an overcomer, to be, hallelujah, victorious in the Lord today. Hallelujah. Go with me, if you would, to James, the first chapter. Hallelujah. James, the first chapter, the 12th verse says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Hallelujah. Sounds like the results that I'm looking for. Hallelujah. Rather than death, hallelujah, the man that endures temptation, the man that gets by temptation. Hallelujah. It says, "For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life." Hallelujah. The 13th verse, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Hallelujah. God cannot be tempted with evil. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of people, we get all confused. They'd say, but Jesus was tempted. Well, Jesus was the flesh. You see, that was the flesh of Jesus that was being tempted. Jesus' flesh was tempted. And God didn't cause him to be tempted. That was the temptation like we all go through. And, you know, so many of us have got Jesus set up on this pedestal over here. And you know, he couldn't fall. But, you know, John, 1 John says, except you believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. Jesus was very flesh, and in that way he was tempted in all ways like as us, but as an example, hallelujah, he was empowered by the Spirit that dwelt in him. And today you can have that same promise. You can have that same Spirit dwelling in you, empowering you to be an overcomer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord. The Lord speak into my heart in trying to help you today. I don't want to leave you. You know, I'm not a pastor that doesn't have a heart for people. I'm a pastor that loves and cares for you, and I don't want anybody to be lost. But at the same time, I don't want you to be walking around dependent upon a list of things that I've given you. You know, I don't want you to go back, you know, I wouldn't want you to walk out and say, well, Brother Darrell says, if I don't wear red fingernail polish, you know, you ain't got none on. And I don't wear cowboy boots, uh-oh, got you. You know, we could, you know, make a list and you could measure up to my list, and you could wind up being lost because you're measuring up to what I say. But you see, the promise that the Spirit would be in you, the promise that the Spirit would guide you, the promise that the Spirit would direct you, is something I can universally say today to everybody in this building. Hallelujah. If you will listen to the Spirit, if you'll have the Spirit in you and you'll let it direct you, I promise you, hallelujah, if you'll let it direct you, He will steer you away from sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word said, God tempts no man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Every person in this building could say today, I have lust. Oh, I know it sounds really ugly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when you walk in that grocery store, you know, and you see that big old ham, huh? Or you see that bacon, or you see them eggs, or you see that, you know, that cake, that big old chocolate cake, and you desire it, that's the lust of the flesh. That's the lust of the flesh. We all have lust. And the Word says that you're tempted when you're drawn away. You're drawn by your own lust. It's something that belongs to you. It's part of you. It's drawing you away. And when you allow it to draw you away, you know, Gracie and I, this is a story. A waitress in a restaurant the other day was telling us, she said, I just been so bad. I lost a lot of weight. And then I was in the grocery store the other day and I bought me a bunch of snack food. I just saw all them snacks and I just bought them all. And I took them home and I sat down and she said, I just been eating snack after snack after snack after snack after snack. And now they're all gone. And I'm so glad they're gone. You see, she was tempted and she was drawn away by her own lust. She desired it. Bible says you're drawn away of your own lust. And it says lust when it has conceived. You see, if she went in the grocery store and she walked down the aisle and she saw the Pringles and the corn chips and you know, all those things that ain't good for you and the diet sodas and the good sodas and the coffee and all those things that ain't good for you, and she saw all that stuff sitting there on the counter and she just walked right by it, she's not allowing herself to be drawn away of her lust. And the same thing is true is when you find yourself in a situation, I don't care what it is that you lust after, what it is you desire, hallelujah, I don't care what it is that gets a hold of you. If you let yourself be drawn away from it, you're putting yourself in danger. But if you'll just say, no, I won't allow that to come into my life. I'm going to shut that television off when it gets into wrong stuff, and it'll probably stay off most of the time. Hallelujah. I'm going to put that book down when I encounter something in it that's not holy, and you'll probably lay most of them down except the Bible. Hallelujah. And you see, when you'll put things out and you won't be drawn away of your lust. But the Bible says sin comes when you're drawn away of your lust. Man, I saw something that day you ought to see. Devil comes up to you. Well, let me look. You know, I saw a movie the other day, man, curl your toes, drawn away. The Bible says you're drawn away of your own lust. And it says when lust conceive, the very, very concept of conception. Conception says you introduce the possibility of something to exist. You bring into existence the potential that something is going to exist. And you see, when you go and you go to flirting and you go to lingering with and you get allow yourself to be drawn away of your lust, you're drawn away into something that you know in your heart you shouldn't be there. You ignore the warning of the Spirit. You ignore the drawing. The Spirit says, don't go. You say, oh yeah, but I can go. Yes, you can go, but you shouldn't go. And you go and you allow yourself to be drawn away. It says lust, when it conceives, brings forth sin. Now, hallelujah. I hope you're not more comfortable today if I stood up here and give you a list and said, okay, don't drink this, don't smoke that, don't go here, and don't go there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, listen to the Spirit of God. Don't be drawn away. Don't be pulled. Don't be challenged. Don't be pulled by your own lust. Yes, those desires are there. There's a carnal man in here. Hey, and that man is drawn and it has a desire. But you see, you got to allow the Spirit to put those things in check and don't be drawn by that lust. Because when you're drawn by that lust, there's the introduction of the potential for sin. Hallelujah. I tell young couples that are teenagers that are dating, you know, there's some things that you can put yourself in situations. And if you'll stay out of those situations, you'll stay out of trouble. You stay away from places and things that you shouldn't be in. And you know, parents, if you're here today and you got teenagers, don't let them be drawn away by their lust. Keep an eye on them. Don't let them be in the bedroom with their boyfriend. Don't let them go out of public places with their boyfriend. Let them be in a place where there's responsibility. Watch them. Watch how they act. When you see them and you see them being drawn by their lust, stop them. They're your kids. You can preach to them. You can say, no, you're not going to act like that. You can stop them. You can say, don't dress like that. If you see your daughter going out of the house and she's dressed like a hussy and she's going to attract attention and some people are going to be looking at her wrong, tell her, you're not leaving the house like that, because she's going out being drawn by her lust, and it's going to be conceived and bring forth sin. I've never been amazed to see people that take their little small children and put them in clothes that are provocative. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not one to go and stand up here and tell you skirt's got to be down to here and sleeve down to here. But I want to tell you, when your 3-year-old or your 2-year-old or your 6-year-old or your 12-year-old or your 15-year-old or your 40-year-old is turning heads, they're being drawn away by their own lust, and they're enticing other people with their lust. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you're drawn away of your lust, it conceives and it brings forth sin. And sin brings forth death. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Darrell, I've been doing pretty much what I want to for a long time, and I'm still breathing today, yeah. But are you spiritually dead? Hallelujah. Are you spiritually dead? How long's it been, hallelujah, since you felt the joy of the Holy Ghost in your life? How long's it been since you felt the victory of a Christian walk with God? How long's it been since you felt free from condemnation? How long's it been since you just felt the love of God swell up? You see, you'll spiritually die from the death of sin that will bring into your life. Yeah, there's an eternal death. There's an eternal judgment. There's a forever separation from God. But today, I want to tell you, I believe that there are people under the sound of my voice that, hallelujah, you've had that lust. You've allowed yourself to be drawn away. And lust, when it conceives, will produce sin, which produces death, a separation from life, a separation from abundant life. I'm not preaching this message today to condemn you. You see, the word tells me I didn't come to condemn, hallelujah, because you're condemned already. You know, the Bible says that. Me and Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn. People are condemned already because their deeds are evil, and they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And when they come into light, the light shines and shows their evil deeds. But today, I'm preaching this as a warning to you. I'm preaching this so you can be aware. I'm preaching this so you can expand your scope and understanding to say, no, I'm not going to respond to that lust. I'm not going to follow after it. I'm not going to give it the opportunity to conceive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you go to a school, Terry and Wade's school, probably, you know, 50 teenage girls there, 50 teenage guys, close to 200 students, 100, whatever. Within every one of those students, within every one of their life, is the potential to reproduce. It's there. Nature put it there. It's part of who they are. And I'm not just preaching against that kind of sin. I'm using that as an example because it says when sin conceives, when lust conceives. In every one of those kids, there's a potential. But you see, If their parents are smart, if Wade and Terry are smart, if that school is smart, it says, you don't go, you don't dress that way at school. You don't dress that way around each other. You shut it down. You quit it. And you see, today in your life, in this room today, there's potential for all kinds of sin. Hallelujah. And you know, there's potential for sin to conceive and bring forth murder. You see, you can have hatred in your heart. You can have a desire down in here to say, I heard somebody the other day, I heard a report of somebody who said, that person, and I hate them and I wish they would die. I want to tell you, that is having a lust and a desire in your heart, and you're conceiving, it'll produce sin in your life. It'll kill you, it'll produce death. I don't care if it's addiction. Hallelujah. If you're addicted to drugs, stay out of the drug environment. If you're addicted to alcohol, stay away from the alcoholic environment. Don't go to bars. Don't go to places. Find you another place. Eat at McDonald's. Hallelujah. Now, maybe that's not good for your health, but anyway. Stay with the people of God. If you got a problem with fleshly lust and desires, don't hang around a crowd that promotes that. You see, because those desires are there, but it's gonna produce, if you allow it to be, draw you away, and you allow it to conceive, and it's gonna produce sin, and that sin's gonna produce death. Hallelujah. I told you today I'm gonna run out of time, and I already have. But I want to tell you today that we have a God today that wants to speak into your life and tell you, I'll empower you. You don't have to follow the example of first Adam, who's just out there. And a lot of folks like to point their finger. A lot of men like to point their finger at Eve and say, yep, weaker vessel. There she was, old weak vessel. Yeah, she's the one who caused that. If it hadn't been for that woman, we wouldn't have had this problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men, it's time to stand up and be men. If Adam had stood up and been a man and said, no, I worship my God, and I will not be drawn away of my lust. I will not follow after that. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, folks, you can't blame it on somebody else. You can't point your finger at your neighbor. You can't point your finger at your mama and daddy. You can't point your finger at your brother, your sister. Hallelujah. You can't point your finger at your blessed sin. Hallelujah. God wants to put in your life an empowerment to say no and stop following after sin. Hallelujah. It would be wonderful. It would be wonderful if God would just reach down and say, boom, no more lust, no more pride. I'm going to preach on pride later. It's just as ugly as these other things. You're never going to see anything anymore that's going to appeal to you. Your body's never gonna crave the wrong kind of things to eat, or is never, you know, the flesh is just gonna be totally crucified. But you see, that's not the way God works. That's not the example that He gave us. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all manner like as we are, and yet without sin. Why? He used the Word of God. He did not allow the lust to conceive. That's how he kept away from sin. Hallelujah. 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 And I know I'm stopping midstream. And I'm just doing that out of respect for your time. Hallelujah. But come back. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, we're going to talk about how lust conceives. And we're going to talk about how lust leads you away. And we're going to talk about how, you know, and I believe that from this lesson that God wants to speak into your life, even what you've heard today, that God could redirect your steps. And you could say, oh, before I do anything, I'm going to say, God, is this okay? Before I go down any path, I'm going to seek the leadership of the Spirit in my life. And God will direct you, and you can be victorious. You can walk, hallelujah, in the path of Jesus Christ. You can be victorious, hallelujah, empowered by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, left of his own will and own desires, will be in lots of trouble. The Old Testament attempted, not because God wanted it that way, because the people refused to be led and encounter the Spirit of God directly. I can tell, preach that to you another time, another place. They said, Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to talk to him. You see, the Old Testament tried to legislate and give rules to produce holiness. But every time they turned around, they had to pull out the stones and stone somebody, because somebody got out of line. Because it was still man living with his lust, with his desires, with his pride. Man living alone. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. But I thank God he didn't leave us there. Hallelujah. I thank God he didn't leave us walking on our own, all alone. Hallelujah. Today, hallelujah, in the New Testament, God introduced, he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today, you can live like God in man. Hallelujah. You don't have to live like man without God, man of his own accord, but live like man. Hallelujah. With God inside him. Hallelujah. And you can walk victoriously. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Darrell, because you got God in you, you live a perfect life. I want to tell you, every time I follow the Spirit, I live perfectly. That's not bragging. I said, every time I follow the Spirit. But when I follow the flesh, hallelujah. When the old flesh rises up and says, come here. Hey, come here. Oh, it's okay this time. It's the right thing to do right now. Yeah, come on. Come on. And I'm drawn away of my own desire. Lust conceives and produces sin. I thank God I got a father. Hallelujah. I got a comforter. I thank God I got a forgiver. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, he's asking me today, he's instructed me today to resist and not be drawn away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I guess eating is probably one of the, and I'm not preaching against eating anything today, but eating is one of our best examples of that you can talk about publicly as far as lust is concerned. And, you know, I go in those restaurants and, you know, there's one place I go and fried potatoes is just not that good for me. I sit there while I'm eating them fries and all that salt on them and all that seasoning, sweat pours out and my blood pressure shoots up, and you know, and I go there, but I sit there and I see somebody's got one and I'm drawn away from them. You see, I'm drawn. My lust gets a hold of me. And the waitress comes by and I say, bring me some of the fries. And I sit there and start poking them down, you know. I'm drawn away of my lust. My lust conceives when I say, hey, sweetie, get me some of them fries. And it produces the equivalent of sin in that it deteriorates and introduces a death in me. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, when you walk home, and I got to give you an example about sin, real sin. You go home and you sit down and you turn on the old tube and you know, and it says, coming up next. You know, coming up next. And shows a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you say, whoa, wow. I believe I'll watch that program. Boom, boom, boom. And all the time, the Spirit's saying, shut it off. Shut it off. The first thing you know, your thoughts are running wild and you're conceiving and it brings forth sin. Hallelujah. It happens, folks. And I want to tell you, God wants to speak in your life. I'm going to tell you, if you are an alcoholic and you find yourself, hallelujah, walking into a restaurant and they got a bar in it, hallelujah, probably be best not to even go there, but it'd be hard to find a good restaurant, but walk right by it, huh? And when the waitress comes and said, do you like a bud today? Say, I ain't even looking at them. You know, I'll just take a glass of water with lemon in it. Hallelujah. You know, stay away from, don't be drawn away of your lust, because it's going to produce sin in your life. Hallelujah. And God wants to empower us today. He wants to speak into your life through his Spirit and direct you. Hallelujah. Because sin brings forth death. Sin will result in death.